Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Episode 103 of Blue Jays Nation Radio, Yaremchuk and Coombsy with you, doing it a little bit different. We're not waiting till the next day or anything like that. In fact, the game is still going on and we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, we thought it would be an interesting thing to do. Just come in, ride the momentum of the Jays having what felt like their first big inning in a month as they piled on 6 runs against the Baltimore Orioles to put themselves up 6-1. They are currently up 6-1. David Phelps is pitching right now with 2 outs in the 9th inning. And we are feeling good.
We are feeling good. That's why we decided to start early. We're like, there's no way the Jays blow a 6-1 ninth inning lead to the Baltimore Orioles.
Knock on wood.
David Phelps has 2 strikes and 1 out. Not that we're legally allowed to give you any sort of play-by-play. Don't come at us, Sportsnet. We do not have express written consent of Blue Jays baseball to do that.
Yeah, it's not actually happening. We're just making it up. We're not even watching the game. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. As always, the podcast is brought to you by both our friends at DoorDash. BGN Pod DD gets first-time users of the app, 25% off and no delivery fees. And our friends at Montana's All-You-Can-Eat Rib Fest on until September 12th, where you can go get hashtag Montana's Messy. Find out more by plugging that hashtag into your Twitter feed, seeing what comes up. Might even see some content from the two of us.
Yeah, speaking of things getting messy, the wild card race right now is really messy. It's Montana's messy. It's chaotic. Yeah. And thankfully, the Blue Jays have just won the game.
Allegedly.
They apparently won the game. I don't know. But the wild card race was getting super intense. But the Blue Jays did avoid getting swept by the Orioles. And they are now a game and a half up on Baltimore again. I will say, if you had told me, And I hate to be a downer here because we have momentum right now, but it has to be brought up that if you had told me back in like March, April, that we'd be charged up avoiding a sweep August against the Baltimore Orioles because they're right on our tails in the playoff race, I wouldn't have been happy. I wouldn't have believed you. I would have told you to fuck off.
Yeah, I also wouldn't have been happy at all, but they are a game and a half up now. So before we get into 3-up, 3-down, let's talk about the inning that saved this game and saved the series.
And the season, really. Let's be real here.
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to go with it, actually, was they score 6 runs in the 7th against Baltimore. George Springer comes through for them with his 1,000th career hit that gets the rally going. Is this a season turning point, or is this a small drop of happiness in a large bucket of urine?
It's impossible to say, but it was necessary. I really do believe that if they had gone and spoiled this Ross Stripling start here and they had lost the game and been swept by Baltimore at home and Baltimore jumped them in the standings, the vibes going into New York, and I mean, the Yankees aren't playing particularly well right now, but the vibes going into that series would have been so negative. I'm not really sure the team would have been able to come back from that.
Yeah.
So maybe this doesn't launch a nuclear streak. Maybe it does, but at the very least, I would have felt zero confidence going into New York had they not have come through and picked up a W here.
Yeah, and I think that's really fair. Not that the New York Yankees have a ton of confidence in themselves either. They're going up against the Tampa Bay Rays later this evening. New York's 2-8 in their last 10. They've dropped 3 in a row. They're otherwise in shambles. The Rays are starting to piece it together, thanks in part to the fact they get to play the New York Yankees. They've won 4 in a row at least. But the Jays now half a game back of the Tampa Bay Rays. They're now going to be, or temporarily at least, I should say. They're also temporarily just 1 game back of the Seattle Mariners, who are in action right now. So you're right. Things are messy, but here's to hoping the Jays use today in a 6-run inning to hopefully kickstart their offense a little bit. Because that's, we didn't end up doing a pod actually after the Cleveland series, but that was just miserable watching them get retired by Cleveland pitcher after Cleveland pitcher after Cleveland pitcher.
Yeah, it was stunning. This is a team that when they get cold, they look so cold, and there's some kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy about it in that we criticized the lineup composition and that it's a lot of right-handed guys who strike out a lot. They swing a lot. They have pretty similar approaches. And we've all kind of been saying for quite some time, they need a contact bat. They need a lefty. So when they do get cold, they just look so bad. And you just see guys having non-competitive at bats and you're screaming that this team needs to add some different dimension to their lineup. But when they do get hot, on the flip side of that, they look fantastic. And it looks, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're teeing off against Baltimore and they're having a good season, but this is still Baltimore. But you have to hope that this is like what gets it going, because the offense is capable of being good. It's not like this is a bad offense.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. Like, you always talk about, oh, the need to add a lefty bat, right? And primarily you would want a lefty bat to get you better results against right-handed pitching, right? You want that opposite sort of matchup. The interesting thing about that for the Toronto Blue Jays is that they actually, on the year as a whole, have hit remarkably well against right-handed pitching. If you just take the season as a lump sum, they are second in OPS against right-handed pitching on this season, right? So like only the Dodgers are better than them at hitting right-handed pitching. And then if you go against lefties, that's actually for some weird reason where the Jays haven't been as good, ranking 12th in Major League Baseball in OPS against left-handed pitching. So I've always found that like critique of their roster construction very interesting. We're going to get to three up, three down, but I just think it was such like I don't know if monumental is the right word, but it was such a shit show. I see, and I just go to like the more unprofessional term, but on Twitter, like the fan base was is melting down because this team is just otherwise falling apart. They couldn't do anything against Cleveland. The start against Baltimore is terrible. Usually when the fan base is melting down on Twitter, I'm the one who sits here and goes, whoa, pump the brakes. It's early in the year, or it's this or it's that. This is actually a moment where I sat there and was like, this is deserved. Like the panic is understandable at this point in the season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really blame anybody for being super upset. The reality is the Jays haven't come really anywhere close to matching their expectations this year. And there's a lot of kind of flaws with what's going on. Like, even if you kind of take away this win here and the momentum, there's a lot of uncertainty about what happens next, because, you know, Jose Berríos has been all over the grid this year. Yusei Kikuchi, who we'll touch on in a bit, can't put together a good start. You know, somebody like Bo Bichette hasn't really gotten hot yet. It's difficult to say what to expect next. And I don't really blame anyone for being upset. Like,
no.
And the other thing too, is that this all ultimately comes after the team had a somewhat quiet trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate their trade deadline personally. I thought the additions, like kind of raising the floor, is fine. I don't know if this was a year that necessarily warranted going all in, because the team's been kind of eh. But I mean, I think that's kind of where it came from, is people were hoping for a big 2015 team season saving addition, like a Tulo or a David Price, and it didn't happen. And that's where I think the negativity is kind of coming from. But quite honestly, like, one good inning like we saw today against Baltimore and everyone's opinion is going to change. If the Jays roll in and win the first game in New York, we're going to be talking about how this team's going to the World Series. Like, that's how quickly things change. And that's baseball.
The only thing I heard, and I actually went back and forth with someone on Twitter about this a little bit, was I sent out a tweet last night after the loss, and I said, the only thing keeping me sane is the dream that a September October heater's coming. Then I said, it's not coming, but let me dream. And someone said, the only thing keeping me going is that this might get everyone fired, as in Shapiro and Atkins. And I kind of was like, Ross Atkins, and if you want to lump Shapiro into this conversation as well, three straight off seasons, they've gotten a top free agent: Ryu, Springer, Gausman. Two straight seasons, Berríos at the deadline last year, and then this year, before the season started, they went out and made major deals to get Berríos and Chapman. How are you mad at the GM in all of this? If they were sitting here right now and consistently blowing leads in like the seventh and eighth inning and losing games by one run because their bullpen sucked, I could get being like, fireable offense for Ross Atkins. The bullpen was a glaring need. He didn't fix it. But this is a collection of incredibly talented baseball players. Ross Atkins put together, in my opinion, a very good team here, minus the bullpen to some extent. And they're just underperforming. They're a good team that's underperforming. I don't think, and I don't buy that the GM didn't put together the right group here.
No, I mean, I also don't know why you'd want to see everyone get fired in this situation. It's not like, you know, I mean, if you think about looking at the Jays since 2015, when they came in, you had the 2016 season where they didn't re-sign David Price, but they brought pretty much everybody back, went to the ALCS again. Then they did a half competitive season in 2017, another half competitive season in 18. And then it was one bottoming out year before the effort was put into being competitive. Yep. And the team's not perfect because no team is perfect. But I mean, with the Blue Jays right now, you have the core with talent and the willingness to bring in new guys. Like, when else in Blue Jays history, really, or I guess recent memory, like I'm thinking, like, I started watching the team in the early 2000s. When else are you signing guys in free agency like Kevin Gausman? That never happened.
Never.
I mean, what's the issue here? Like,
I don't get it. I just, again, it's people who love complaining for the sake of complaining. I also saw certain people who were very vocal about firing Charlie suddenly doing the whole like, maybe it wasn't the manager thing. And it's like, okay, well, you were one of the people sitting there being like, fire him, fire him, fire him. And what, now that they had a bad stretch under John Schneider, you're like, oh, Charlie
wasn't
even.
It's just lazy.
It's so lazy. The GM owner, whatever you want to do, Shapiro Atkins thing is so incredibly lazy. That's a great word.
It's just because it started right off the hop. It's, you know, these new guys came in right when the team had made the playoffs and there was all this momentum and everybody was sad about AA leaving. And, you know, say what you want. I don't know. Maybe AA is a better executive than Shapiro or Atkins. I have no idea. But the reality is like, they're in a good spot right now. They add good guys. They do good things. Like, you want them to fire Shapiro Atkins and start from scratch with somebody else? Really? You want to go through this all again?
Makes no sense at all. That was the rant I wanted to get off my chest. We can get into the three up, three down, though, delivered by our friends at DoorDash Ding Dong. One guy who they went and picked up who has certainly outperformed expectations is Ross Stripling.
Yeah.
Today's performance was what feels like in the moment an all-time gem from Stripling, coming off the injured list and carrying a perfect game into the seventh inning. He ends up going 7 1/3 against the Baltimore, 6 1/3 against the Baltimore Orioles, only allows the one hit, strikes out seven. Outside of that hit, does not allow another base runner. Remarkable.
Yeah, it was an absolute masterclass from Stripling. And I pointed this out on the Blue Jays Nation Twitter account that his season this year reminds me a lot of Marco Estrada's season in 2015. Wow. So the Jays went out and they acquired Marco Estrada ahead of the 2015 season in the deal from Milwaukee, and they sent back Adam Lind. And it was kind of like, why this guy? Like, he's just like a mop-up guy, like a number five starter, maybe allows a ton of dingers. And then he starts off as like the depth guy in the bullpen who's just mopping up innings, does a pretty good job. And then there's injuries to the starting rotation. They need a starter. They throw him in, just like Stripling. And then Estrada in 2015, as we all remember, was unbelievable. He was arguably their best starter until they got David Price. And even after that, like, think about the playoffs. Estrada was probably their best starter in the playoffs. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing with Stripling here, is it was like, oh, here's Ross Stripling, a decent depth arm who logs innings in the pen. And meanwhile, there was a desperate need for the Jays to have someone come out and log innings for them because Kikuchi can't pitch. Barrios hasn't been that good. It's just, you know, they needed someone, and Stripling's been that guy. And we're getting to the point now, he's a free agent at the end of the season. And it's like, to me, it kind of seems like a no-brainer to issue him a qualifying offer. They should be looking at re-signing him, just like they did with Estrada. They didn't let Estrada walk.
No, they didn't. He ended up pitching three seasons for the Jays. I remember that start, and I just pulled up the numbers again to make sure I had it right. September 17th against Atlanta, he goes 8 strong, 3 hits, no earned. Like, going through his game logs that season, there's so many just great, great starts. August 9th against the Yankees, a pivotal moment for that 2015 Jays team. He goes 6 1/3, 3 hits, no earned. And I look at, hopefully, I should say, we're looking back at this start a month and a half from now from Ross Stripling and being like, yeah, that was a moment that really helped turn things around.
He's got a 2.93 ERA now. Ross Stripling does. And this is a guy who was going back and forth from the bullpen to the rotation at the start of the year. He wasn't necessarily fully stretched out to be starting and still went in the role and thrived. That's damn impressive.
Incredibly impressive. Ross Stripling gets our first up for this series against the Baltimore Orioles. There was some fear. You and I watched this game together for the most part that, oh, they're going to blow this. They're going to lose 1-0, and the Stripling start's going to be all for nothing. That wasn't the case. Springer comes through, big hit, Santiago Espinal comes through, double to the fence, Springer hustles home, the emotion on his face when he does it, like he was wildly fired up. That was great. But they really needed a big inning. It feels like it's been a month since this team has had an inning like that.
Yeah, we've said this a million times in the podcast, but the nice thing about having George Springer here is that he always seems to be the guy who comes up in big games. He when the games mean more, when you're in situations like this, when you're in a race in September, and we saw it last year too. And then when you're in the playoffs, we've seen it with him with Houston. He's always the one that comes and plays better when the stakes are high. And that's why it's so important for the Blue Jays to have George Springer healthy. When he was on the injured list, the team just had the life sucked out of them. And I mean, now I like he comes back and he doesn't light the team on fire in the first two games, but lo and behold, he's the one that comes through and kind of really sparks this rally. And it just goes to show how important his presence is on the team and how desperately the Jays need for him not to get injured again this season.
Yeah, keeping him healthy is going to be important. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if how they handled him in this Baltimore series is every series for the rest of the regular season. Play the first two, sit the third. We need you. We'll bring you in, but you're not playing a full series because the last thing you want is him to tweak something that puts him out another month. Like they need to be real careful, Springer.
Yeah, we've said we've talked about this many a times, and it's that the Jays need to keep their DH spot open, and it's for reasons like this. It's George Springer's in a spot right now where he can't necessarily be playing in the outfield every day because if he throws a ball in too hard, he might hurt himself, and then he might not be able to swing. They need his bat. And you got Jackie Bradley Jr. or somebody else to play center field nicely defensively. Let's just use George Springer as the DH because we need his bat in the lineup so badly.
Yeah, that's bang on. We had the return of Springer as our third up, but we kind of lumped that into the big inning. So I'll go ahead and give some love to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who hit back-to-back dingers dingers in back-to-back games in the first and second games of this series against Baltimore. He's had a really nice kind of stretch here. I know the last seven games maybe haven't been pretty, but over the last month, Vladdy's been one of the better hitters in the majors.
Yeah, he had a huge hitting streak, and it just kind of flew under the radar. I think that's kind of the unfortunate thing for Vladdy is he set the tempo last year with the season that we all kind of expect him just to have be his baseline. And even when he puts together a very good season like he's having right now, people are like, I don't know if Vladdy's that good. And it's like, well, he is. And you kind of see it in a series like this with Baltimore is he's still like a phenomenal hitter. I mean, how long was his hitting streak? That was nearly like 20 games, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the longer ones going in the majors this season, actually. But we actually talked about that exact thing in one of our season previews where we were like, hey, Vladdy, like everyone needed to temper their expectations on Vladdy because even the best of the best don't go nuclear and historic every year, let alone going nuclear and historic in back-to-back seasons when they're 23 and 24 years old or whatever, right? Like everyone needed to crank down their expectations of Vladdy. And I feel like maybe the first half of the season, him starting as slow as he did, or there being some lulls in the first half of the season for Vladdy is probably a better way to put it. I feel like that maybe reset everyone's expectations on him. And I hope we can appreciate what he's bringing a little bit more because this still is not the Vladdy we saw last year for the whole year, but I think he's showing signs and glimpses of getting back to that point.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we also have to consider, remember early on in the season, there was also the whole dead ball situation. Oh. So our perception, I guess, of everyone early in the season is somewhat warped. So I think we did have a bit of a, again, this is kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy. We had a bit of a negative view of what was going on. I think Vladdy's kind of shattered that. His OPS is all the way up to 859. I don't think there's much concern here.
Fair enough. So those are the three ups we have right now in the moment. They won 6-1 today. We're feeling good. They're going to New York. It's fine right now. But 5 hours ago, it really wasn't fine. So let's get into the down of this thing. And a big story that kind of broke, you could say, today. Yusei Kikuchi is not in the rotation anymore. It's going to be Mitch White getting his spot, which makes sense because he was great in that start against Cleveland. Stripling is great and you're not moving any of the big three. Kikuchi's the odd man out. He certainly played himself into that spot. And after watching him in this series against the Baltimore Orioles, I am very happy to say that he is out of the rotation. That is, this feels like a big moment on the pod.
Yeah, this is something we've been talking about for quite some time. Kikuchi winds up in his start going 3 1/3. He allows 3 earned runs, 6 runs all told. He walked 3 guys, struck out 3 guys. It was just an ugly start. And I think the unfortunate thing about that is, you know, he goes down 3-0, Mountcastle home run. The Jays rally back the following inning. They score 2 runs. Looked like they could have scored some more runs, but the bats seemed to really be... they seemed to be rolling, and then Kikuchi came out and it was just not throwing strikes. And I mean, there was a little bit of misfortune on his part in that Bo wasn't able to make a play at short. It wasn't an easy play, but whatever. And then he just goes and has a disastrous inning. It stretches on for like half an hour, and the bats, you know, by then the momentum is all completely sucked out of the game, and you just can't have that anymore. And that's what we've seen over and over and over again with Kikuchi. He pitches, only goes 2 or 3 innings. Toronto's bullpen gets taxed. Like in this game, again, it's 3 2/3 innings from Richards and Thornton, which are your mop-up guys. And then since Kikuchi didn't go deep at all, you have to use Pop and Simber, which are 2 of your more leveraged guys, which sucks. That's really not ideal. So at this point, I have no idea what to expect from Kikuchi. Can he go into the bullpen and toss an inning or 2 at a time and try and figure it out? I have no idea. If he's, you know, terrible as a reliever, do you just stash him on the injured list? September is right around the corner, so rosters are going to expand. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you just let him pitch only in non-leveraged spots.
I think there's probably some value in still doing that. Like, for example, today, if this game, a 6-1 score is a week from now when he's back and rested a little, you could say, then I think you probably do look at, okay, let's bring him out. We're up
6-1. Would you have been comfortable putting him out in the David Phelps inning today?
No, God. 6-1.
Would you?
The fact I'm hesitating probably gives you your answer.
Like, how big does the lead have to be for you to be like, okay, I can toss Yusei Kikuchi into the game and it's fine? Or is he only coming in when they're down by like 6?
Yeah, or you do that. I mean, I would also argue that when they're down by 6, that's important because this offense could be good enough to pop home 6 in an inning at any given moment. Although they haven't shown that a lot lately, other than today. Yeah, I think you got to be up by more than 6. And then you go, okay, we'll bring him in. We'll give him 2 innings here. And you just have to have a short leash on him, right? And it's insane that this is what we're talking about for a starter that's on the books for 2 more years at $12 million per. Yikes. Anyways, Kikuchi, wasn't great. The offense, and this dates back to the Cleveland series as well. It just fell off a cliff. And we've talked throughout the season at different points of this being a very feast or famine team. But the fact that they scored 4 runs against the Cleveland Guardians and then followed it up with only 5 in the first 2 games against the Orioles. Even I think you could lump today into that conversation where 6 runs in 1 inning. But heading into the 7th inning, they had 1 hit? Like, their offense has just fallen off a cliff over the last, I'm counting today in a way and saying 6 games.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because today we're, you know, one of the ups is that huge inning, but it really only was 1 inning. And I mean, the guy starting for Baltimore today, you kind of look and it was like, well, this is a guy they should, you know, tee off on. It was the same thing in the second game with Dean Kramer. It's not like a big name that you should be getting mowed down by. And that's kind of been the theme for the Jays for a lot of this season. And it's been a theme for a while too. And it's a weird thing to see that another team will roll in with kind of a really random arm. Maybe somebody who has decent numbers in AAA that's come up and had a bad time here, but it seems that the Jays offensively, and it's confounding, but it seems the Jays offensively are like a slump buster for opposing mediocre pitchers. Just pitchers that toss a little bit of junk and they have a great start against the Jays, and it doesn't make any sense. But again, as we said, let's hope this is the start of them turning it around offensively, because it did look like it. They had a better approach in this game. It seemed like there was a lot more urgency. They were taking more pitches. It was just a smarter approach, it seemed.
Yeah. Austin Voth with the Nationals this season had a 10.13 ERA. In parts of the last 5 years, this from Mike Petrillo, he had a 5.7 ERA over the parts of 5 seasons. So far with the Orioles, 48 innings, 2.81 ERA.
Okay.
Everything works for the Orioles right now.
That doesn't make sense. Like,
no.
The fact that you said that sentence out loud is absolutely whack to me, because the Orioles were so bad for that like handful of years. And it's like, oh, great. Like, the last thing we need in the fucking American League East, where you already have like the free spending Yankees and Red Sox, and then like the fucking pesky Rays who can always just find guys to be good. The last thing we need is for the Baltimore Orioles to become like this pitching factory where they're finding guys on waivers and turning them into like ace arms.
Yeah.
That is the last thing we need.
John Schneider, while we're recording this, actually confirms Mitch White will start Saturday. And Yusei Kikuchi is going to be pitching out of the bullpen going forward. So now we know that for sure.
Cool.
The offense has fallen off. One guy who definitely deserves some of the blame for that is Bo Bichette, batting a career low 7th in the order. They moved him up to 6th today, and he hit a double. He ended up going 2-for-4 actually in this one too. But that's a guy who they could use a Bo heater right about now. Hey.
Yeah, no, seriously, his OPS for the season is at 7.30 after today's game in which he went 2-for-4. It's really stunning. He hasn't really had a hot streak yet this year. We've all kind of been waiting for it. And I think it must have been, last week, 2 weeks ago, he had a huge game. We were like, here it is. Bo's going to get on fire. Two dingers.
It was like, Let's go. It was against Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. It was against in the last series against Baltimore when the rain delay kind of zapped the momentum. And it hasn't happened. It seems he looks very frustrated. It looks like he's having a bad time. It looks like the struggles he's had this season have started to wear on him mentally.
Yeah.
And it would just be nice to see him kind of go off, but there haven't really been all that many signs of that necessarily happening.
Little bit of silver lining. He made a very sharp defensive play today.
Yes, he did.
That was nice with the bare hand charging it in. And I mean, that in a way could have saved him a run.
He's been far from bad. I've seen a lot of people online be kind of like, oh, like this guy's a bum. He's someone they should move on from in the offseason.
Yeah, well, that's insane.
He's a year removed from being one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, and he's having a down season. Again, this is the same conversation we had 10 minutes ago about Vladdy. It's Bo had a great season in 2021. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the exact season he has every single year. You know?
Yeah, like players have up and down seasons. That happens, especially in a sport like baseball. Like, I don't know. People love freaking out about this stuff and doing the whole, like, oh, he's a bust. You can never win with Bo Bichette as your shortstop. And it's like, what are we even doing here?
I saw someone mockingly say they're like, well, it's a good thing they wouldn't trade Bo for Juan Soto. And it's like, well, how do you know that Washington wanted Bo in return for Juan Soto?
Yeah, well, yeah, that too, right? Like, if you as a Jays fan think Juan Soto is so junk, why do you then think the Nationals would want him for Juan Soto? Like, come on. Yeah.
No, what you meant is that Bo is so junk. Why would they? Juan Soto is so junk.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
I think we're confused.
Yeah, we're always confused.
That happens.
We're Montana's messy right now.
I will say, since we've gotten back into like an in-studio situation together, I feel like our rapport's improved.
You think so?
I think so. It's nice to be able to look at you. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's not a good series against Baltimore, but at least we come away from it with a decent taste in our
good
mouth,
vibes,
right? Like, there's good vibes today, and you're not heading to Yankee Stadium with doom and gloom hanging over you. Like, now there is a chance for them against a Yankees team that's looking terrible right now. There is a chance for the Toronto Blue Jays to start building up some positive momentum. That is very, very good.
Yeah, the Yankees have kind of, much the same as the Jays, have just largely fallen off a cliff offensively. I'm going back and I'm looking in this Tampa series. In the first game, they get shut out. The second game, they only allow one run. And these losses to Boston, only two runs. They get shut out by the Red Sox as well. Three runs against Seattle, a shutout against Seattle. Like, this is an offense that is nowhere near rolling in all cylinders. And it seems like all the Yankees really have going for them right now is Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton's out of the lineup with an injury, and they just look so much less scary when he's not there.
Hear me out. They should have never let go of Joey Gallo.
No, 100%. You should go and see what Joey Gallo is doing now.
I saw since the deal, it was like the Yankees lost 5 straight at one point and the Dodgers won 6 in a row. Like, from the moment he joined the Dodgers after leaving the Yankees.
With the Dodgers, Joey Gallo has gone 6-for-23 with 3 home runs and, and his OPS is 1.042.
So 3 dingers already this season with the Dodgers after hitting 12 on the year as a whole with the Yankees. That's hilarious.
The Jays really should have been all over that. I don't know if the Yankees would have let him go into the American League East. They probably wouldn't have, but geez, Joey Gallo would have been a nice addition for the Jays, I think.
Yeah, that would have been great instead of like the Jackie Bradley Jr. ad to just go bring in Joey Gallo instead. That would have been awesome. All right. Well, we're talking a little bit about the Yankees here, so let's get set for this thing with our PointsBet Canada look ahead.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it is four against the New York Yankees coming up. Barrios versus Montas, Gausman versus Jameson Taillon, Mitch White versus Gerrit Cole, Alek Manoah versus Nestor Cortes. We talked about it. The Yankees are struggling. The Jays have their rotation is what it is right now, but Gausman and Manoah are both going to make appearances in this series. That seems good. Manoah's coming off a start that ended poorly, but early on that looked like the Manoah we were hoping we would get for the whole season, because for a bit it looked like he was dipping early on in that Baltimore start. It was like, shit, I saw our count was tweeting the big man, he's back. And then it ended not great, but I don't know. I'm probably just blinded by how jacked up I am that they won and finally covered a run line here. Speaking of points bet Canada, but I don't know. I'm feeling okay here. Like let's pound the Yankees. Let's go.
Yeah. I think given the way the Yankees have been playing recently, their offense has completely fallen off a cliff. There's reason to be optimistic. The Jays can roll in and they can win this series, take 3 of 4. I mean, It is a little bit worrying, I will say, and it feels kind of strange saying this, that Jose Barrios is the first one starting in this series.
You
just don't know what to expect from a Jose Barrios start, but hey, the Yankees haven't been hitting much recently, so maybe we'll get a really good Barrios masterclass as opposed to one of his other pumpkin starts. Who knows what to expect? But like you said, Gausman's going, Manoah's going. You always like to see that in a series. And Mitch White's been, I think, through two starts with the Jays, quite good. And he's an arm that the Yankees aren't familiar with at all. So
it's a good point. I think that's a fantastic point. The Yankees haven't seen him, unlike some of the other Jays arms. Looking at the American League East standings, it is like, do you remember a couple weeks ago when we were doing the whole like, is the top of the AL East still attainable? Like, can they catch the Yankees and that sort of thing? If the Jays just wouldn't have shit the bed for the last 2 weeks, the Jays are before today, coming into today, we'll do that. The Jays were 2-8 in their last 10. So were the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Jays could have been 7-3 in their last 10. We would have been sitting there talking about a team just 5 games back at the Yankees heading into a 4-gamer against them. It was right there. The Jays, in a way, controlled their ability to get back into this thing. It's maddening to
Seeing people were talking about this back before the first Baltimore series in Baltimore. They're like, oh, it's, you know, Baltimore, Cleveland, Baltimore. There's 10 games here. If they go 8-2, which they should, then they're going to go into this 4-gamer with the Yanks and be like 5 games back. And lo and behold, that didn't happen. But hey, so close. They can draw themselves in real tight to the Yankees if they have a great series here. We saw it last year. Remember, they went to Yankee Stadium and they
won all 4.
Yeah, they shrunk that lead.
If the Yankees were to lose to Tampa and the Jays sweep them, they're 5 games back.
Okay.
Come on.
Sure.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. I still personally have my eyes set on the top wild card spot.
Yeah, and that's the big one.
Yeah. And hosting, which is, it's not going to be easy because Seattle's ripping.
Seattle is hot. Tampa's hot. Always worried about exactly the Tampa Bay Rays. And also, again, just looking at the Jays' schedule, there's so many, not just big important series, but like long series against teams they're right up against. Like 4 against the Orioles. You get 5 against the Rays.
That finish in September and the second half of September is going to be really intense here. It's going to be a lot of games against the American League. It's going to be, so how they finish off, it's, they're going to be, it's almost exclusively AL East to the second half here.
Except for a 2-gamer against the Phillies, because it's from on September 12th, they start a 5-gamer against the Rays.
That's going to suck.
Yeah. And then at least it's at the Dome. 3 against the Orioles, a quick 2 against the Phillies, 4 more against the Rays, 3 against the Yankees. And then you go to, or you host Boston for 3, and then you end it with 3 at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Like
that final 3 against Baltimore that we thought at the beginning of the season was going to be like, oh, here's a nice, like, fun way to end the year, scoring 1,000 runs against Baltimore like last season. I no longer feel that way about the Orioles.
Yeah. Just quickly, because we have the monitor playing and we're watching Sportsnet right now in the studio, watching George Springer still get so fired up for those big moments, that makes me very happy.
Yeah, that energy. That's exactly what we want to see. Yep. Right off the hop in New York is George Springer's leading off game one, hits a dinger. That's what we want to see. Get 100%. The momentum going.
And hopefully the Jays can keep it rolling for a 4-game series in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium against the New York Yankees team that is not hitting all too well right about now. Coombsy, this was fun. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash. Montana's, #GetMontanasMessy, all you can eat ribs on until September 12th when that 5-gamer against the Rays starts. And also shout out to PointsBet Canada. You enjoy the series. We'll talk on the weekend.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.